I'm still very nervous right now, coming up here. I'm usually like a loud mouth. I like to, you know, I like to over-exaggerate, like, hey, whatever. But today I'm very nervous, and I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that, like, historically I've been a huge glory thief, and that's really just what I wanted to speak on today. This whole week, you know, thinking about, like, after watching Tyler speak, I was like, oh, look how cool he was, you know? Oh, he's so cool, sitting in this chair, he's just not even looking at his notes, and I'm thinking so fleshly about, like, how he was doing so well, and I know that the Lord orchestrated for me to be speaking today, because he knew I needed encouragement from the men's conference past 2 days, and what an incredible conference that was. But similarly to Pastor, like, I missed every one of you guys. Even though it was a day, it was still like I only thought, like, oh, what if my wife was here? What if all of our friends were here? Like, you know, it would have been awesome. It was cool to see a bunch of, like, I wasn't going to say old guys, but like a bunch of a bunch of wise Christians coming together in a room of, like, I don't know, there could have been like 40, 50 gentlemen, but just all singing deep, like, praise the Lord. Like, that was cool. That was cool to see. I did miss my wife's voice, though, because I love hearing her when we're singing together. But yeah, I was thinking about what to speak on this week, and for the life of me, I was like, I don't want to, like, pose as somebody who knows their Bible like this, and, oh yeah, the story of this, and I didn't want to be that guy, because I'm not that guy, and the Lord knows that. And so the Lord impressed on me to really speak on testimony. And a huge inspiration of that was, you know, Brother Steve was talking about his own testimony. He was sharing with us and talking about, you know, like, the ego that he once had, it was gone because of Christ. And he was open and he wanted to share with his brothers and sisters. You know, think about Kring when she came up here and had the courage to talk about her testimony and all the hardships of that too. And so today I wanted to speak to you guys about my testimony and yeah, just everything that the Lord has done for me. And just like this past year alone, really. And whenever I spoke about my testimony, you know when you, like, tell a story to somebody, like, constantly, and you're like, and then some things start to get over-exaggerated, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this guy owed me $1 or something, but then it becomes like $100, and then, like, you just start to exaggerate over and over again. Well, my testimony of my salvation was a lot like that, where I was starting to just elaborate. The sky was so clear and the sun was up, and I was just saying a lot of, like, Hollywood-esque things in my testimony, and it didn't feel right. It wasn't the story. It wasn't about the glory of God. It was about me getting saved, and that's not the testimony that I want to share today. I wanted to talk about the testimony of a man who kept on trying to take the glory from God, and the man that failed in his stale faith to surrender to Christ, and only to understand that giving glory to God was the true key to surrendering to God and to have, yeah, the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so I'm going to pause a little bit I'm going to pause every now and then because I'm like, I have like 6 pages of notes here, and my flesh is constantly like, oh, don't get off script and stuff, because you're going to screw up if you go off script. And I'm not going to do that. Glory to God. I wanted to start off by having us all turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, 23 to 26. And for the men who were there yesterday, I'm not trying to copy off of Pastor, I swear. This is what... I thought of this verse first, I swear. It was me. Oh, man. Okay, after I hear some less, okay, no more page turn, a couple more page turnings. Excellent. Okay, I'm going to start reading, guys. And then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in for his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And so as I go through my testimony, I just want you guys to meditate on these words as well, because it was a huge impact in it. It was kind of like my eureka moment, but we'll get to that soon. So BC, before Christ, I was a man that always sought attention. You know, I was somebody who was loud, a lot louder than he should have been, and just wanted the attention and the adoration of others. And I remember, you know, in high school, I was this band geek, right? I had my friends and all that stuff, but I remember my name is Andrew Kang for the newcomers. Hello, there was this guy named Andrew Lee, and he was the opposite of me. He was the jock. He was the athlete of the year, athlete of the month. You know, we kind of looked similar, not really. Like, he was a lot more buff than I was, but anyway, he was like everyone's favorite guy. And sometimes people would mistaken me for him because we had the same similar names and both Korean. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, Andy, like, you did so good. And I was like, that's not me. And they're like, okay. So I was like, oh man. And like, but I wanted that attention. I wanted that attention and that adoration too. And in high school too, like, I really, you know, I really wanted to be a Korean pop star. And it wasn't about, like, you know, my singing skills and my dancing skills or my look. Like, I found out very early, like, I didn't have the eyes for it, or I wasn't pretty enough for a Korean pop star lifestyle, I'll tell you that. But it wasn't about any of that. It was because I wanted the adoration of people. I really craved after that. I seeked after that. And that was like what was driving me, you know? And let me just turn this page. But yeah, that's kind of like who I was BC. Now fast forward to AC, after Christ. But you know, when I was saved in July 2016, this was like an incredible moment. I'll spare you the Hollywood details, but essentially I was saved and I felt on fire. I felt so spiritually awake, and I felt like, oh my gosh, this is what life is all about. I have to keep up this momentum. I have to keep on praising God. This is it. This is it. And, you know, I was kind of in this weird transition period, and essentially, like, I just was now in this mode to want to, again, crave that attention or, like, you know, get that adoration, whether it was in just, you know, before Christ or even with Christ. I was told at my old church to do an MC, like be an MC at this large Bible conference, and that's essentially where I met my wife too. And so, and I was going crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And I was like, oh, this must be the work of the Holy Spirit. No, it was me, and I wanted all of that glory, right? I was even put in a leadership position in our English ministry, and I was in charge of essentially like all of the events that we did. And I was even a youth group teacher, which was, I don't know, it was scary, terrifying, right? The blind leading the blind. Matthew 15, 13 to 14, it said, you don't have to flip over if you don't want to, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. We fell into a ditch for sure. All these things God had allowed in my life and was giving me opportunities to give him the glory, I was continuously taking it. I was continuously being like, that's me, you know? Look at how cool I am, you know? Look at how hard I'm praising God, you know? And there was no fruits. All of my labor, it was for naught. It was for my own vain glory, and it showed, right? All of these events or just all of my English ministry gatherings with my church, it ended up in just a bunch of Christians hanging out and talking about worldly things. There was no emphasis on God, right? And when I was teaching, I wasn't teaching, I was just trying to look cool in front of my kids. And there was no seeds there that I planted. There was nothing. There was no glory to God at all. That was just all me. And so, I mean, you know, it doesn't come to a surprise that there would be issues in the church and would eventually lead me to have to move to a different church, right? Because that was my flesh, my pride. I didn't like what was going on. I have to leave this church. I'm going to go to this new church. Next church is the Baptist church. And I was talking to, you know, my wife and my sister. And I don't want to bash on the Baptist church. This is I'm not bashing on the Baptist church. I wanted to kind of share my own experiences and kind of where I led, like what happened and what led to me doing what I was doing. But this guy that was craving attention, craving popularity, all of these things, is now going into a Baptist church where the full focus is on, it's fully on God, and that's a blessing for sure. But one of the biggest things was that there was this militaristic approach to it. It was, you have to come to this many services, you have to tithe this much, you have to wear a suit to every service, even in the summertime when I was drenched. And, you know, if you're not doing these things, you're not right in the Lord. You have to go to, you have to usher, you have to, you know, you have to join the choir, you have to stop fooling around at choir practice. Andrew, stop. Like, I fooled around a lot. Still trying to take glory for myself. But yeah, it was just one of those situations where, you know, self-glorification was not possible. And I was thankful for that, but with no longer, you know, getting glory and feeling those highs off of doing God's work, I was starting to feel stale. I was starting to feel anxious. I was starting to only focus in on just, you know, where am I in this situation, right? I'm just doing these things for the sake of God, but I'm not doing this because I truly feel, or like I am truly like feeling blessed, and I want to give all of my love to the Lord. That wasn't my approach in these situations. And so I let myself get stale over many years. And my wife was still, you know, on fire for Christ. She's still on fire for Christ. You guys know her. She was an absolute prayer warrior for me. And she was, you know, praying and praying and praying. And I was still just stagnant. And I was starting to backslide. I was starting to go back to short-term pleasures and, you know, just not really caring about what God wanted in my life. I just cared about just getting to the next day, you know? Not everything was terrible, though, because that's where I met Tyler. I met Tyler online, and, you know, and the Lord gave me an incredible brother in Christ. And so not all of that was terrible, but most of it was terrible. Tyler was the only good thing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We started coming to this church in, I think, like 2022, and not only, like, it was like two services later, Grace started coming back, and like everything started to become, oh, glory to God, oh, praise God. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, and my Christian, I was well versed in Christianese at that point, so I was like, yes, praise God, of course. And then, but she would say it for everything. we'd find a good parking spot at the mall, and she'd be like, oh, glory to God. And I'm like, yeah, glory to God. I'm like, oh, I drove here, you know? And I was like, honey, I got a raise at work. And she's like, oh, that's all glory to God. And I'm like, yeah, all glory to God. I worked really hard for this. But she said it for everything. And one thing that you can definitely say about this church is that everyone here is saying glory to God for everything. And that was, I couldn't fathom that, not with my history, not with my background, not with this desire for me to just constantly want to take the glory for myself and to feel good, right? Masking it as glory to God. I was bitter. I was really bitter. I didn't want to shake any of you guys' hands. I was not because I hated you guys. I hated myself, and I hated everything about God at that point. And it was terrible. My hands were idle. Something that was awesome about yesterday, one of the speakers, Jeff, was just talking about idle hands. Idle hands being the devil's workshop. When you have idle hands, twiddling your thumbs, temptation seeps in, right? When you're doing nothing, that's when the temptation seeps in, and that's when the devil knows what we are tempted most with in life, right? Like, for myself, it was like food, video games, and even pornography too, right? These were things that were constantly just oh, I'm thinking about this. Oh, I crave after this, all this and that. I wasn't doing anything, and the devil was taking huge advantage of that, right? But James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, I want you guys to look at this one, because this was really important. James chapter 1, 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I mean, do I have to say anything else? The Bible said it for me. I was tempted, not by God, but by myself and my own desires, conceived, gave birth to sin, and I'm ready for death. And my salvation was my salvation, but I was living my life with two hearts. And as a man, like, not even as a man, but just as a person, like, imagine living your life with two hearts. How heavy that is, and how stressful that is, you know? Living two lives. Saying glory to God in one and then going back and twiddling my thumbs and giving into sin the next. That's not a life to live. It wasn't until January of last year, because I was still feeling this way up until January of last year, but it was the countdown to my wedding and panic began to ensue. I was starting to feel, oh man, I'm not ready for this. And this whole time, Grace is like, I need a spiritual leader as a husband. And I knew that I wasn't that guy. I was not him. And I was panicking. I was freaking out. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be this guy, and I'm not ready. Like I'm, and as Pastor was saying, I was not ready to have a wedding, a marriage. And when he asked me that question, like, Pastor asked me, do you really have to get married? I was so offended. I was like, I don't know if I told you. I was like, oh, what? I've been engaged for 2 years. Of course I'm ready. Of course. Like, oh, what are you talking about? And then, no, I wasn't ready at all. And Pastor knew that too. And God, I mean, God knew that. I was so defensive because I knew that deep down I was definitely not ready to be that spiritual leader. And out of, you know, sheer panic and anxiety, I was like searching for all these answers. And, you know, as a stupid man, I'm like Googling, like, oh, what can I do? It's like, nope, none of these things work. So in a panic, I prayed for the first time in a while. And I was impressed to go to the prayer meeting, the online Zoom meeting. And I was like, oh, we're on Zoom. Okay. I'm going to keep my camera off. I'm lying in bed. I'm going to fall asleep. And then instead of doing that, everyone in the prayer meeting started praying for me, right? Betty, Sheila, Steve, my sister-in-law, my wife, Gabriella, Pastor, everyone was praying for me. And I was starting to cry. I was starting to cry. So I'm like, and I couldn't stop. And I was like, what is going on? And then Pastor's like, come over to my house. Like, we need to talk. And that's when he said, that's when he showed me Luke 9:23. I'm going to read it again because it's so important. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I mean, how awesome is that? He lays it out step by step in that verse. If anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself. Easier said than done, of course. Huge, right, Betty? Like, massive. Take up his cross daily. God knows that we struggle. God knows that sin is ever prevalent. God knows that temptation always comes. He's not telling us to be perfect. He knows that we struggle. He knows that we need to take up our cross. And step 3, follow me, right? It is so liberating even to just say that today with you guys. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Up to that point, I had been living my life for myself, for my own indulgences, for my own understandings. Whenever sickness was making me panic, when I was dealing with like gout or stuff like that, I'd be like, oh my gosh, how do I deal with this? Google, 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 doctor, 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 follow up with doctor, follow up with doctor. Things of this world to really understand like how to run my own life, essentially. And everything was failing. Everything was failing. I was living my life for myself. I was trying to save my own life, and I was destined to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And that was it right there. The surrender. Are we living our life, ready to lose our lives for the sake of our Lord? Do we have that surrender in our heart? Oh, man. Sorry. I'm just, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. I don't even know what I want to even say here, but Father God, just tell me what I need to say. There's so many times where we do things, and because it's for the sake of others, we feel like, oh, I must be doing God's work. This must be a godly thing to do, right? I'm doing this for the sake of the person I love. I'm doing this for the sake of my parents. I'm doing this for the sake of my girlfriend, my wife. It must be from God. But no, a lot of the times it's not. It's for us, right? And in those moments, like, we have to ask ourselves, what are our intentions behind our every action, right? And as a man, the only way for us to, as Christians at all, is to ask God to be with us and ask for his help in every situation, in every single moment of our lives. That's the only way. And of course we fail. Of course we fail. He knows that too. But as men, I mean, you know, we've grown up to men who say you have to deal with your problems yourself. You're responsible for your own problems. You're accountable for this. You're accountable for that. And your feelings, bury them. You're not allowed to feel feelings. You have to be a rock for your family. You have to be a rock for whoever loves you, who are counting on you. People are counting on you. No one's counting on you. Everyone has to be counting on the Christ. You're not counting on yourself to do things. You're counting on Christ. Verse 25, got to go back. Oh, no. Hold on. Okay. Verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the world and is himself destroyed or lost? You know what? I'm not even going to, like, the, again, the Bible is self-explanatory there. But chapter 26, that's something, or sorry, not chapter 26, verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes to his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. This was me as well. Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah, all right. We're good. I was ashamed of Christ. I was constantly saying things to save face with my non-Christian friends, you know, it's so unfair, the Bible. Are you telling me that we never had a choice? Being gay is not a choice? Like, all these things, and I kept on being like, no, like, you know, the Bible, you know, like, I love you, man, don't worry about it. Like, and I was ashamed of Christ and the Bible. But imagine Christ coming down in all of his glory and being ashamed of us, right? We talk about the betrayal of Jesus Christ, and how many of us Or how many times have we in our lives betrayed Jesus Christ? Right, we talk about the stories in the Bible, but we ourselves constantly betraying Jesus Christ. So verse 26 was me. And that's the life of somebody who's not surrendered to the Lord. That is somebody who is surrendered to his environment, circumstances, and himself. Yeah, I feel like the devil, whenever I think of, like, you know, the atrocities of the world, thinking about, you know, all of the deaths, the wars, the adultery, the drugs, all of these different things, I feel like the devil, the greatest weapon in the devil's arsenal is making it so that people think that they are the most important person in their lives. It's in everything, right? Be yourself. Just do it. Everything. Everything is marketing to us to make us feel like the most important person, that our opinion matters the most, our life. You have to just be yourself. You just have to be yourself. But that couldn't be so farther from the lie, right? What profit is it, a man, if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? It says it right there. What profit does it give you? What are the fruits of the Spirit in that situation? There is absolutely none. And so from that point on, surrendering made sense. That was the only way for me to ever see God's glory in full manifest. It's, as Pastor was saying before, you're either all in or all out. And that was me. I was kind of in the pretending as if there was something in the middle. No, there's none. It's either all in or you're all out. So two things from my testimony sticks out. My lack of being able to give full glory to God, and for the staleness of the Spirit when things don't go your way, when you feel like God is not answering your prayers. I don't know if this really ties in with anything, but I thought that it was really awesome when Pastor was saying it yesterday too. Just stealing a bunch of Pastor's stuff. But it was so good when he said that God will answer prayer three ways. He'll say yes, no, and wait. And we as Christians hate two of those three things. But a lot of the times when God is asking us to wait, how often do we have our idle hands, or how long do we feel bitter as if God is not answering our prayers? But he always comes through in the end, even if it feels miserable, it feels impossible. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys here today. That is full glory of God. 100%. So, a couple of things. I was reading in Pastor Chuck Smith's note, because, you know, how do we combat things little by little? And we've heard it over and over again, but I want to just share it with you again today. Pastor Chuck Smith says, everything in our Christian faith is one step at a time. One step at a time. And there are little bits and pieces as we walk with him. Relationship first is first. If we try to walk in Christ without even having a relationship at all, we're doomed to fail from the start. So where is your relationship at today with the Lord? Is there a relationship? Or are you just doing Christian things to pretend as if you have a relationship with Christ? I know, because I was right there. I had to be like, yeah, that was me. Number two, walk in our talk. Now, this one's kind of interesting, because when I was in the Baptist church again, I became very proficient in buzzwords and, you know, glory to God, praise God. I knew I was fluent in Christianese. But Pastor Chuck says to walk in the Spirit means that we allow the Holy Spirit to exercise control over our lives. Every day we are presented with the option to living in the Spirit or after our own flesh. We got to walk our talk, guys. Number three, taking in the word. The Bible has everything. It's a cheat code. It's an answer key. Everything that I was studying on or any question that I had this week, I was like, what does the Bible say about this? And I was like, yep, it's right there. And it's very clear. And then it repeats. So it's like, okay, it is the answer. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When I read the Bible like 5 years ago versus when reading the Bible now, the words stayed the same, but they mean so much more. And they continue to reproof, to correct, and instruct me in every generation of my life. And so when I'm in this men's conference and these men of faith of over 30 years who raise their hands, they're reading that same Bible and they have that same fire for God. Like, praise God for that, right? And I pray that I could get to that point where I'm still praising God even after years and years of reading the Bible. But the Bible, again, reproves, corrects, and instructs us in righteousness. Though, we do need to be careful when reading the Bible. John chapter 5, 38 to 40. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. It's important, like, I'm going to kind of put my wife on blast a little bit, but I remember a time when my wife was so on fire for the Lord and reading the Bible was like everything. Reading the Bible. But it's important that we know that the Bible is the word of God and not God himself. It is his words, but it is not God. And so sometimes we Christians can really depend on our own biblical intelligence to measure our own self-right or our own righteousness in the Lord. It's not about that. Right? It's not about how much you know about the Bible. It's not of that. What is the intention behind it? Are you reading the Bible because you want to show how you know this chapter and you know this verse and you know you want to be that person? Or are you doing it because you have the intention of showing Christ's love to another Christian? I love that. And then finally, I'm on the last page. Oh, there you go. Communing with God. Pastor Chuck says that our lives become remarkably transformed when we come to realize that God is with us continually. We need to remember this, as losing sight of that fact can open the door to spiritual disaster. The farther God is removed from our consciousness, the more we are strongly drawn to things that feed our flesh, and that's where we stumble and fall. We need to always remember that God is with us everywhere and every day watching over us and is there to help us in anything and everything. When I realized that giving full glory to God was the answer to fully surrendering to the Holy Spirit, my life changed. I no longer had fear in my future. My future wife-to-be was, she belonged to him, not to me. Her future and her future was in the hands of the Lord. It wasn't me anymore. My wedding, my lack of savings and guilt and all of that stuff was all in the hands of the Lord. If you repent, ask forgiveness. I stopped trying to control things or run away and trying to, you know, do things in my own strength and no, none of that anymore. It's relying on him fully. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. You know, this week has been crazy. You know, go up and down, up and down. And I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating. There's still a battle in my heart of wanting to be funny for you guys. And, you know, I care so much about what Doug thinks of me. You know, I think so much about these things, and the flesh is constantly battling me as I'm saying this. And so this message is really for me, to remind myself of where I was and where God has taken me, and all of the glory goes to him. And so now when I hear Pastor or all of you guys saying glory to God, it means something. And I'm so blessed. This is like, this church family has been such a huge blessing to me and the wife. And the wisdom, the testimonies, it I mean, glory to God, of course. Praise God, of course. But now, you guys have been incredible, and I just want you to remember just how important, like, just even the smaller things, just the small things. When you guys prayed today for Bethany, like, it just showed, right? All the women got up and put their hands on Bethany to pray, and we will continue to pray for Bethany as well as a church. And I know that. And I know that Bethany's health is in God's hands, and He will heal her. And I believe that. But I'm so thankful for this church and for each and every one of your testimonies and how much it's impacted me as a Christian as well. I have a bunch of stuff here. I don't really know if it even really ties in or if God wants it. But I will say, at the very least, are we perfect? Absolutely not. Has God equipped us for the good fight? He absolutely has. Please rely on Him. When you have that next fight with your wife, and it's coming, guys, of course, take a moment to just stop. Close your eyes and pray. Ask God for help. When you have that big meeting coming up and you know that there's that one boss that's like, ooh, I'm about to get angry with you, pray. Ask God for help. When you have pains and you're struggling and you're scared of your health, you're scared of dying, you're scared of all of these things that are just make you anxious, pray. Ask for health constantly. And remember that God will say yes, God will say no, and God will ask you to wait. And you need to know that it's full glory for God. If you're struggling through something, it's because there is something that God wants you to learn. When I had a huge gout attack and I was bedridden for 2 months and panicking, God taught me so much and God helped me to get my life under control. Like, He did that for a reason. He does things for a reason. What is our intentions in everything that we do? I love you guys, and I really appreciate this opportunity to speak with you guys. And I just want to say that for whoever desires his life will lose it. But whoever desires, or whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I just want to just leave that with you guys today. That's what saved me. That's what helped me surrender. And I pray that it would be a blessing for you guys as well.